outside right now, but somebody bringing a screw gun, asked Wally, didn't he? Because we're going to build an ark. It is crazy raining this past week, and I don't know about you, but this is Christmas, and I would rather have snow. Yes. It's just, this is Ohio. I've lived in Ohio all my life, and you're supposed to have a white Christmas, aren't you? At least that's what Bing Crosby sings about. They were supposed to have a white Christmas. But I'm glad you're here today, even though, I'm glad you're here. There's no even though. But my day started out kind of goofy today. I got in my car to come to church, and I got a text. Got a text from Mike, the leader of the praise team, said he was feeling. All right, so now we have to make some adjustments. Then I got to church and looked at my phone again. I had another text from Tori. Tori has an infection on her finger, and she was going to go to Minute Clinic, and so we didn't have special music today. And so I can think of other days that I would not have responded this well today. But I had a good attitude getting up this morning. I still have a good attitude because it's all about God, isn't it? And so I was going to talk about looking over your shoulder today one last time, but I'm not. I'm going to talk about attitude because attitude is everything. You can get news that's not so good, and you can start moping and whining and complaining and griping and grumbling. I know none of you do that, but I know I do once in a while. And so it's how you face life, isn't it? Attitude is all about how you face life. And so we can face life well because we serve a risen Savior. We have just celebrated his birth, and we ought to be celebrating his birth every single day. But we also celebrate his life. We celebrate his death and resurrection, and we celebrate the fact that one day he's coming again. So we can live with a good attitude in spite of all the stuff. And so for me today, I opened my Bible, and I was reading through what I was going to preach this morning, and all of a sudden, my focus just changed. Are we allowed to do that, Wally? Okay. If you said no, I was going to go to Rick, and if Rick said no, I was going to go somewhere else. But if you would, stand with me, and we'll open Philippians chapter 4. Today, I'm reading out of the New American Standard. I normally use the ESV. Verse 1, therefore, my beloved brethren, whom I long to see, my joy and my crown. So stand firm in the Lord, my beloved. I urge Euodia, and I urge Syntyche to live in harmony in the Lord. Indeed, true comrade, I ask you also to help these women who have shared my struggle in the cause of the gospel, together with Clement also, and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your forbearing spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on these things. The things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last you have revived your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned before, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak from want, for I've learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. I know how to get along with humble means, and I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, how it speaks to us. I pray today that your word would go forth and accomplish in each one of us what you've already determined for it to do. I pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would be free to work in this place. I pray, Lord, that you would open our hearts to you, to your word. Plant your word deep within us so that it might spring up into fruit, so that we might live our lives in a way that brings you glory and honor, for you alone are worthy to be worshipped. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Attitude. First place I read this morning is I was going to preach from Philippians chapter 3, and in reading, I came across verse 15, which was not going to be part of the sermon today, and it says, "Let us therefore, as many as are perfect, have this attitude, and if in anything you have a different attitude, God will reveal that also to you." How do you face life? Isn't that a question? How do you face life? You can get out of bed, and I know people who get out of bed grumpy and groaning and moaning, and just, it seems like every day is like this. You know any Eeyore people? Oh dear, oh my. Most of the time I'm like Tigger. I get up and I'm hopping around, I'm doing things, I'm having a good time. But yesterday was not a good day for me. I'm not sure why. I had a great day on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. I was kind of like, I was kind of grumpy. As a matter of fact, my wife said, "Why are you so grumpy today?" And I guess if she identified that, then I must have been grumpy. But I couldn't figure it out. But I realized later in the day, it's not about what I want all the time. It's about what he wants. It's about what other people want. And we redid Christmas this year so that we could spend time with Diane's youngest brother, whose son and daughter-in-law had just flown in from Idaho. They see them about once every 5 years for Christmas or so. Now, they see him a couple other times when they fly out there. But it rearranged my whole day. Anybody ever? I'm a pretty traditional guy when it comes to Christmas. I like to have my family there on Christmas Eve. That didn't happen this year. I like to go to Diane's mother's on Christmas Day, and that didn't happen this year. So I was a little old grumpy butt. Can a pastor say grumpy butt in church? I guess I just did. But I realized during the day, and especially when we got to Diane's brother Doug's house, and we prayed before we ate, and Doug was so moved with emotion because people had made time out of their day, out of their Christmas weekend, to spend time there. And you know what? That does a huge amount for your attitude, realizing that you're not in it for yourself. Paul encourages us in Philippians chapter 4 to stand firm. If there is any time in the history of this country, in the history of our world, we need to stand firm in Christ. We can't back up. Wally said the darkness in his prayer today, the darkness is encroaching upon us. And we need to let the light shine. We are the reflection of the light of Jesus Christ, aren't we? Or we should be, and we need to let that light shine. Regardless of what's happening around us, we can have contentment in Jesus Christ, and we need to. And it's all about attitude. It is all about attitude. How are you going to face the day? You can face the day in your own strength and suffer and be grumpy. Or you can face life in the strength of the Lord. Psalm 30, verse 5 says, "Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning." It's all about attitude, isn't it? Stand firm. Two women, Euodia and Syntyche. I remember years ago when I first became a Christian and we attended the church that Diane had grown up in, and the pastor was preaching from this verse, and he kind of identified the situation for me because he renamed these two women. He named them Odious and Soon Touchy. Isn't that the way we work sometimes in a church? People wear their feelings on their sleeves. They're easily offended. And so what has to happen is, if we're going to stand firm, if you and I are going to have good attitudes, then we need to be able to work together. We need to be able to move forward together as a church, as a people. And we need to put the stuff behind. And I'm not sure what's going on or if there's anything going on, but I do know this, that we as a church work better together than we could ever work separately. We can accomplish more for the kingdom of God together than we ever could do separately. These were two women that Paul used in a great way. Paul used to share the gospel. But something had happened, and it became a little divisive. What happens when division hits? It's not a good thing. Any of you ever been involved in the athletic team? Anybody? Some of you have. Anybody been involved in any kind of a team? What happens when there comes a division? It doesn't work out very well, does it? Pardon? You lose? So he said to these, "I urge you, I urge these two ladies to work together. And then we have that verse in verse 4 that I don't know that we ever get it right. Rejoice in the Lord once in a while. Is that what it says? Rejoice in the Lord sometimes. Rejoice in the Lord occasionally. Rejoice in the Lord whenever things are going our way. What's it say, Gene? Rejoice in the Lord always. Raise your hand if you can do that. No, don't, please. No, please don't do that. I've not learned that yet. I've not learned to rejoice in the Lord always. Hopefully I'm getting better at that, but I don't know. Rejoice in the Lord always. It happens if our attitude is right, if we're living in the right way, if we're living for the right person. It's all about Jesus. It needs to be all about Jesus. And going forward in the next year, we need to realize it's all about Jesus. What is it that He wants this church to do? What is it that He wants this church to accomplish? What is His purpose, not only for the church, but for us individually? Because as we carry out His purpose and His will in our lives, we will also work together to carry out the purpose, His purpose and His will for the church. There are a couple things that we need to do better going into the first part of the year and the whole year, and it'll happen if our attitude is right, if our attitude is wrapped up in His will. One is we have to reach people for Jesus. Isn't that why the church is here? We need to reach people for Jesus. I'm not interested in having anybody from any other church come and join us as a member. If they decide to do that, that's up between them and God. But there are enough people out there who don't know Jesus that need to be reached with the gospel. And I've told you all before several times that if every church in Gahanna was filled twice, filled to the brim twice every Sunday morning, that 70% of Gahanna would still be outside of church. There are a whole lot of people who need to hear about Jesus. And so we need to have that passion rekindled. You know, we don't talk much about this time of the year or any time of the year about the idea of hell. Y'all believe in hell? Do you? Then why don't we tell more people about Jesus? That just goes hand in hand, doesn't it? So what we need to do as a church is we need to have that fire rekindled. We can have that fire rekindled. We'll encourage one another. We'll help one another. We'll teach one another. And so what we will do is we'll regain that focus because all of us are going to work together to get it done. We also need to be more of a praying church. For me, as a matter of fact, I'm designating 2016 as the year of prayer at First Baptist Church. We need to be people of prayer. And I'm not sure exactly what the day is, and the elders met the other night. It's February 10th or sometime in that area, Wally, that we are going to have a 24-hour prayer vigil at the church. It's not one of those things that we're going to sign up to pray and you can pray at your home. Now, we expect people to pray in their homes all the time. But we also believe that people need to make a sacrifice and people need to come to the church. And one of us, one of the elders and deacons, will be here all during that 24-hour period. The church will be open and we're going to ask the people of the church to be passionate about prayer and to make a sacrifice in their lives and come to the church and pray. God does nothing except in response to the prayer of His people. Years ago, I was part of a church that said that their motto was, where prayer focuses, power falls. So we need to be more intentional in our praying. We need to be more purposeful in our praying. So I'm going to invite you this year as we look into 2016, just a few more days away, right? That we're going to be more intentional about praying. So I'd encourage you to do the same thing. Can we get that done? Absolutely. Working together, we can become more passionate about prayer. We become more passionate about evangelism, more passionate about discipleship. And all these things are not separate necessarily. They all are part of the same mission that God has given us. Isn't it? Just a thought. So we need to watch our attitude. We can stand firm. In verse 5 it says, let your forbearing spirit, another translation will say, let your sweet reasonableness be known to all men. The Lord is near. Have we lost track of the idea that God is with us all the time? Do we think about that very often? That grumpy pants Tom, when he got up yesterday, did he forget that God was there? Yeah, I think sometimes. When we go about living our lives, do we sometimes forget that God is there? When we're off in the corner talking about a coworker? Or we're in the church in the back hallway talking about somebody else? Do we forget that God is there and that he is hearing? Just a thought. Be anxious for nothing. Good luck. Be anxious for nothing. What's that mean? How many of you grew up when Alfred E. Newman was on the cover of Mad Magazine? Anybody remember that old, he wasn't very old, but excuse me, redheaded freckled guy? And on the cover of every Mad Magazine it said, what? Me worry? Don't we do that sometimes as Christians? I used to think that worry was a sin. I don't know that I think that anymore. Worry is inevitable. Everybody worries, but the sin comes when we dwell on it, when we let it take over our lives, when we are over, excuse me, when we are encompassed by that worry, when worry dictates the way we're going to live our lives. Because what worry tells me is that I'm not trusting God. If I don't trust him, then I doubt who he is. Does that make sense? I doubt his promises. And so the promises that God has made to me and has kept, now I begin to doubt whether he can do that or not. And doubt leads to discouragement. Doesn't God care? Doesn't God listen? Isn't God here? Doubt and discouragement, and then you just disappear. Then you just disappear. It's all about attitude. We need to trust him. Has God ever kept a promise in your life? Now, this is where I want to see your hands. If God has ever kept a promise in your life, raise your hand. Ever. He has, hasn't he? And if God's kept a promise in your life, then I know that he's kept promises in other people's lives. Now, I may not have experienced all the promises that you have, but here's what I know. If I experience a promise of God, if he keeps that promise to me, then he's going to keep that promise to you. And we can share that with one another, how God has been working in our lives. And that shapes our attitude. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything. What's everything mean? I just wanted to see if we all have the same definition. Everything means everything. I don't know how else. By prayer and supplication. In everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. Be anxious for nothing. Does that mean that prayer overcomes anxiety? Does that mean that prayer can overcome worry? It certainly does. But in everything by prayer and supplication. Y'all know what supplication is? Supplication is the earnest sharing of our needs, excuse me, and shows our dependence upon God. Supplication is the earnest sharing of our needs, and it shows our dependence upon God. Why is it that when we think we need something, we grumble about it before we pray about it? Why is it that sometimes when we have an issue with somebody else, we grumble about it instead of praying about it? There's an old chorus that I heard when I was a little kid, and I wasn't even a Christian then, but it's, why worry when you can pray? Why worry when you can pray? Makes sense. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Reminds me of a verse in James, Melinda. Count it all joy when you encounter various trials. Rejoice in the Lord always. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. So that, excuse me, I'll be all right. But does that mean that when I hear about the praise team not being here today, that I should rejoice with thanksgiving? Does it? Absolutely. When I hear that Tori is not going to be here for, what's that? You know, yeah, if I'm sharing with you. I'll find a way to move on now, Wally. No, that's fine. If I ask you questions, you can say what you need to, kind of. But then when I got to church and I saw that thing from Tori, and I didn't know how bad it was at that point, I thought, holy cow, this is, you just keep piling things up. Should I still be thankful? Yes. Absolutely. Because who knows what God wants to do? Things happen for a purpose. So who knows how God wants to reshape things? Who knows what God wants to do in our lives or in the life of the church? Just because, you know, we think we're not a liturgical church, or at least Baptists don't want to think they're liturgical. You know, we want to give that all to the Lutherans and other people. They have a liturgy. Yes, we do. You have a bulletin today? Look through that bulletin. That's our liturgy. That's what, you know, we do the same old things at the same old time, in the same old way, in the same old service. Maybe that needs to change. Maybe we don't need to hand out a bulletin. Maybe the only people with the information need to be the musicians and the pastor. What do you think? Maybe we'd focus more. Was that Savannah? Sure. You put those three girls together and you have a problem. But maybe if we did that, we'd be more open to being led by the Holy Spirit instead of led by a piece of paper. What do you think? Just a thought. Maybe we ought to do something like that. Now, I'm not telling you that's going to happen right away, because that could cause some serious issues. Why change anything that kind of works? I don't know. But the fact is, it has to be attitude. You know, God's going to do some changes around here, and our attitude is going to determine how we follow Him or how we don't. And attitude is everything. And if we hear from God, and if we begin to lead in the way that God wants us to lead, what throws the anchor out? What yanks us back? It's attitude. People, well, we've never done it that way before. Well, the old cliche is, if you always do what you've always done, you always get what you've always got. We need to move forward with God. We need to pray. We need to let God know what we're doing, what we want, not what we're doing. He knows what we're doing. And we need to pray with thanksgiving. Sometimes I think the people in the United States are the least thankful people on earth. We've grown up with everything. We have had everything we've ever needed. We've never had to really learn to depend upon God for a long period of time. Sure, we've gone through difficult times in our lives. Sure, we have. Everybody has. But over a long period of time, you know, since I've been a little boy, Christianity has been allowed in this country. We've been allowed to come together to worship on Sundays as we choose. But that's not true around the rest of the world. People are losing their lives for expressing their faith. People who are more bold than we are, more anxious about sharing the gospel, are at risk of losing their lives. We have all the advantages in the world, and yet we don't. I just years ago, I think 20 years ago or so, Misook, we were, Korea was sending missionaries to the United States. Is that scary? 20 years ago. It went in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. What is it that you need God to do in your life this year? What is it that you want God to do in your life this year? You can wish or you can pray. God responds to prayer. What's to say? You know, we talk about being anxious. I think there's a difference in anxiety between what goes on in our spiritual lives, because I have this phobia. Anybody have phobias in their lives? I have a horrendous fear of bridges. It started in 1993. I cannot drive over a bridge. And people delight in sending me pictures of bridges that I'm not even sure if I would walk over. Well, I know I wouldn't walk over. I'm not even sure if I'd put a hoodie up over my head and ride over them. And we found one of those bridges this summer. We went to Chesapeake City, Maryland, and there's a bridge there. And got close to the bridge and Diane said, oh, look at that bridge. I really didn't want to go over. And I'm not sure how God works in anxiety with that kind of stuff, but I prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed, and I'm still afraid of bridges. I'm thinking Valium might work. That's kind of a joke here. But I do know when I'm anxious in my spiritual life, and I pray God answers. I know that by experience. And I know that if that's true in my life, it can also be true in yours. We pray with all supplication and thanksgiving. And the peace of God, what a great verse this is. And the peace of God which surpasses all comprehension. We can't even understand it. We can think about it and think about it and think about it, but we cannot understand the peace of God. It comes only through the person of the Holy Spirit. It comes only when we allow Him to do in our lives what He wants to do. Can we block the work of the Holy Spirit? Yeah, we can quench the work of the Holy Spirit. We need to be open to what God wants to do in us, and that means we're going to have to do some retrospection. We're going to sometimes take inventory of what is here. So guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. This next verse, I forget who it was, some commentator said, this can be described as a mini biography of Jesus. Verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence and if anything worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on these things. Our attitude will be determined by our thought life. As we think, so we are. As a man is in his heart, so he speaks. We need to allow God to change us from the inside out instead of appearing that we've changed on the outside. Didn't Jesus call the Pharisees whitewashed tombs and empty sepulchers? We need to allow God to do work on the inside. Think about these things. I preached through this passage one time, and I had a lady come in the next Sunday, and she brought in this cross-stitch thing with this verse. And I have it on my bookcase. So whenever I turn over to look for certain books, there it is. And it reminds me of what my thought life is supposed to be. Years ago, I had a pastor, probably 35 years ago or so, preached a sermon. And what he said was, see, we have these television screens, right? We have that screen back in the back that we can pull down. And he said, would you want your thought life projected on these screens? Not me. The heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. And that's why we have a Redeemer. A Redeemer that comes and changes our hearts because of who He is and what He's done. Verse 9, I think, is very important. As a matter of fact, I have several words in this verse circled. Because I believe in writing in my Bible. Y'all do that? Write, underline, do those kind of things. Write little things out on the side. Paul says, the things you have learned and received. Does that mean you can learn, you can attempt to learn and not receive? You learn them and you make them a part of your life. You receive them. And heard and seen in me, practice these things. And the God of peace shall be with you. You know what he's talking about there? He's talking about mentoring. He's talking about finding someone to walk through your Christian experience with you. He's talking about following another person as that person follows another person who follows Christ. And that's what we need to do. We need to find someone that we can mentor and find someone who will mentor us. Because the truth is, we've not arrived. None of us have arrived, nor will we ever arrive. But we need people building into our lives, and we need to build into people's lives. I believe it's in Ecclesiastes where it says a cord of three strands is not easily broken. You want a cord of three strands? Barnabas and Paul and Timothy. Barnabas poured his life into Paul. Paul pours his life into Timothy. And I'm sure, as Paul said to Timothy, teach these things to faithful men. You and I need to be a part of that chain somewhere. We need to have people pouring their lives into ours. We need to be pouring our lives into others and then watch the transformation that takes place. Anybody ever heard of John MacArthur? John MacArthur built a church one person at a time. He discipled. They discipled. they discipled. And the discipleship kept going on and on and on. That's what we need to do. But discipleship isn't just teaching people about Jesus. Discipleship is also evangelism. Discipleship is also ministry. Discipleship is also service. All of these things, discipleship, evangelism, ministry, service, all of those flow out of our love for God. And our love for God flows out of our worship for Him. Everything we do and everything we are flows out of our worship. So let me ask you right now, how's your worship? You see, we come to worship Him, don't we? Easy to look up on the screens and sing the hymns. It's easy to watch the words on the screens and sing along with the praise team. It's easy to sit there and listen to people pray. It's easy, well, maybe not so easy to listen to somebody preach. But at the same time, are we involved? Are we coming to church to make ourselves a sacrifice for Him? Find someone that you can pour your life into. And that find someone that can pour their life into yours. Mentoring. Just skip down to, well, I'll go ahead. Verse 10. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last you have revived your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned before, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak from want, for I've learned to be, what's that next word? For I've learned to be what? Are you paying attention? I've learned to be what? I know you're going to get it sooner or later. But what's it mean to be content? It means to be at peace, doesn't it? It means that the peace of God that passes understanding will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. That flows from prayer. All of these things flow from that personal relationship with God. I just read something this week. As a matter of fact, I read it last night. And I'm not picking on Catholics, but I am saying this. Pope Benedict. I don't even know. Does he have a number after his name? It doesn't matter. Pope Benedict said the most wrong teaching in Christianity right now is that you need a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. He said you need a relationship with the church. Listen carefully. The church cannot save you. The only person who can save us is Jesus Christ. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. I was absolutely blown away when I read that last night because I couldn't even imagine it. Without a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, we are condemned to hell. And there's no question. Jesus said, I've come to do what? Seek and save that which was lost. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Not through the church, not through giving, not through being baptized, not through any of those ways. The only way that we can enjoy eternal life forever is through faith in Jesus Christ and what He's done for us. I've learned to be content. You know, sometimes we need to learn to be content, not only individually, but as a church. I know how to get along with humble means, and I also know how to live in prosperities. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. Do you know how he learned that? Do you know how he was able to do those things in his life? I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Now, the question is always, do you believe that? We can say that, can't we? It's easy to say. We can memorize the verse, and most of us have. But do we believe that we can do all things through Christ who gives us strength? I think we need to believe that. And I think we really do. But what we need to do is act on it. What is it that God wants to do in your life? Can you do it? Absolutely. You can do all things through Christ. If God gives us a message individually, and God wants us to carry that out, can we do it? Can we get it done? Not if we rely on us. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. You know, in my wildest dream, this pastor stuff was never in the horizon. Never. I was absolutely content where I was. Weren't any real challenges. I could teach Sunday school. I could be a deacon in a church. I can do all this thing. But I was pretty content. And then all of a sudden, God said, let's go to the next level. Let's do something else. Let's think about this pastor thing. And I said, absolutely not. You know the word Jonah means dove? You want to know how what my testimony was when I first believed God called me in ministry? Read Jonah. What'd Jonah do? Jonah ran. They threw Jonah in the ocean. Jonah hit rock bottom. Right? The fish came. Might have been a guppy. I don't know. It doesn't say whale. It could have been a guppy. God can do anything. Came. Came up. Spit Jonah out. Right? Was Jonah obedient to God then? Yes, he was. Did he want to be? Did he ever repent? No, he didn't. As a matter of fact, I told somebody this week, maybe it was you, Wally, when we were talking. There's only four chapters in Jonah, but in chapter four, Jonah's griping and complaining because he was under the bush and he was getting shade, and then all of a sudden God killed the bush. You remember that? So I've written chapter 5. I don't think it's under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, but I've written it. Three words. God killed Jonah. Just my own translation. It's not even translation. It's just me. But we can learn to be content, can't we? Or shouldn't we? So after 10 years, I ran away from God for 10 years when he called me to ministry. 10 years. And I was miserable. And I made people around me miserable. And I can remember going to church, you know, that's one of those obligations we have as Christians, isn't it? And I can remember sitting in the pew, and I can remember that the pastor gave an invitation every Sunday, and I can remember holding on to the back of that pew on Sunday morning and telling God, I will not go. I will not go. I will go and recommit my life when I'm ready. You ever said that to God? Be honest. Maybe not at that level. But one Sunday, I was standing there minding my own business, telling God again that I was not going to go. And God, through the Holy Spirit, reached down and grabbed me by the collar and said, today's the day. Have I been content from that time to this? I wish I could tell you I had. Storms. You go through storms, don't you? Individually, you go through storms. As a church, we go through storms. The pastor goes through storms. Some of them are much worse than I ever wanted them to be. But at the same time, you come out the other side. And in those storms, you learn to be content. I did a timeline as part of a study one time, timeline of my life, and I looked back as far back as I could remember. And with the exception of one time, and that's right after I was saved, every period of growth in my life followed a place where I was absolutely devastated. Huge pain. Every time, every large period of spiritual growth followed those times. Why? Because I learned to depend on Him. Don't be anxious about anything. Pray. Let God know your needs. Be thankful and experience His peace. I can do all things through Him who gives me strength. We're going into a new year. We need to go into this year with a new attitude. Paul says, forgetting what lies behind, it's okay to look back there once in a while to see what God's done in your life, but you can't live back there. I was sharing with Rick this morning that I grew up, I know I'm only... I probably look 30, but I'm really 32. But I can remember in my little town of about 5,000 people who grew up, it cost you 10 cents to go to the theater. 10 cents. You could buy a loaf of bread for 20 cents. Gas was 19.9. I could put $2 in my dad's car and do the cruise all night long up and down our main. Rick said he can remember 8 cents. I don't know how old he is. But at the same time, you can look back over those things, but you can get stuck there. Nostalgia will keep you trapped in the past. You know, you can look back and see what God's done in your life, but you need to look right now. What's he doing now? We need to let God do in our lives exactly what he chooses to do, and that means we need to step it up. We need to develop a new attitude. We need to follow him. Wherever he leads, I'll go. What we're saying, sometimes what we mean is, wherever he leads, I'm going to send Wally. Or wherever he leads, Rick's going to go ahead. But we need to be alert to what God wants to do in this church, what God wants to do in my life. And I can promise you this, we can get it done. Together, working together, praying together, reading the Bible and studying together, encouraging one another, doing all those things will help us accomplish what God wants to do in our lives. Do you believe that? Let me go to sleep. Anybody have a pillow? I just lay down here and go to sleep like the rest of you. Anyway, sometimes I'm facetious. A lot more often than. But anyway, can we do this together?
Yes.
Can we? Can we get it done? Whatever God wants to do in our lives and in this church, can we do it? I can't do it by myself, and you can't do it by yourself. But we can do it together. A great example of that is, and I'll say again, yay church. Yay church. Were you here last Sunday morning? Anybody here last Sunday morning? What'd you see in this room? You saw presents, gifts from that end of the church all the way to that end of the church, didn't you? Our church came together and helped several families. The church became and did what God wanted us to be and do. It's an amazing thing. And then a day later, I got a phone call from another family. Now, we had already turned some families down, but there was something about this family. And so I texted the elders and talked to them, and Wally called me with some concerns. But we helped that family out too. We were able to help six families this year. And what that does for us is it shows people that we really love God. It helps us understand together who God is and how he wants to work through us. It's an amazing thing when God's people work together to accomplish God's will and God's purposes. And that's how we're going to move forward. We invite you to go with us. We need to go there. There are hundreds of people. We could walk the doors of people this morning who don't know Jesus Christ. We need to get out and visit them. We're going to challenge you around Lent to invite 10 people. Think of 10 people that you're going to invite to come to church on Easter Sunday. And to pray for those 10 people every single day. To invite, to pray, and to watch them come. God works through prayer. And I'm anticipating him doing amazing things in this church this year. But our attitude has to be right. Our prayer life has to be right. Our thought life has to be right. The way we practice our faith has to be right. So I'm inviting you to come. Let's go. Every once in a while, Diane and I are out riding around doing something, and I don't want to say we get lost, but sometimes we find ourselves in places we're not real familiar with. And we say, we're just on an adventure. I like adventures most of the time. So church, we're on an adventure. Let's see where we're going to go. Let's follow God. Let's go. Let's just throw off all the shackles and let's have fun. Let's be the church God wants us to be. Every once in a while, maybe, just maybe, every once in a while, when something's going on in the church, it'd be okay for people to come down the altar and pray, wouldn't it? Every once in a while, just maybe every once in a while, it'd be okay, Gene, if you got up while we were singing, just dance around a little bit. I call her Gene, the dancing machine. Every once in a while, just maybe every once in a while, we could get excited about why we're here. I'm not jumping up on a pew and I'm not leading the Jesus cheers like I've done that in the past unless God says, okay, Tom, let's jump. But at the same time, throw off the shackles. Get rid of all the inhibitions. Be what Christ wants you to be and do what he wants you to do and watch what he does through us. Makes sense to me. I can get excited about this stuff. I am excited about this stuff. Let's help one another become excited and stay excited to do what God wants to do in this church. You'll be surprised what he can and will do through us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word today and how it speaks. to each one of us, how it speaks to our hearts. And Lord, we hear different things as you speak your word, but Lord, we know that you bring us together to accomplish one purpose. Father, I pray this year that our attitudes will be right. Our prayer life will be right. Our thought life and our practice. That we would learn to be content because we realize we can do all things through you who gives us strength. So Father, as we close out this year and enter the next, give us new attitudes. Help people see us rejoicing in you, of enjoying our relationship with you. Lord, I don't want to be fake. I don't want to be phony. I don't want to be a hypocrite. I just want people to see what you're doing in my life and what you're doing in the life of this church. Help us to realize that this is your church, and we are here to worship you and to serve you, to glorify you as you lead us to accomplish your will and your purposes. And we pray in everything, and we thank you because of who you are and what you do in our lives. We praise you, O Lord. Amen. Now, I don't sing this song very often, and I'm not sure...